Kevin, good morning to you, sir. What do you expect out of the spring game?
Yeah, Alabama's spring game, noon tomorrow Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. It will be broadcast on ESPN for those that wish to tune in. Yeah, you know, my number one objective for the spring game, Bill, is nobody get hurt. You know, I've said this many, many times. The rubber hits the road in the spring with the two scrimmages. Coach Saban said yesterday that he's going to hold a lot of players out of the scrimmage of the A-Day game tomorrow. Just, you know, players that are, you know, dinged up or whatever and are not risk injury. They'll announce the Crimson and the white rosters later today. I know people are excited to see Bryce Young and some of the young true freshmen that are there, and it's just a great time for fans to get together and mingle and see each other. So few got the opportunity, unfortunately, last year to go to games in Tuscaloosa. So, quite honestly, Bill, as long as if no one gets injured tomorrow, then it's going to be a great A-Day as far as I'm concerned.
Mention some of the newcomers that fans should keep their eyes on.
Tomorrow, Jalen Milroy, and Jalen Milroy, the true freshman quarterback out of Houston, Texas, Bill, is really impressing people. He made tremendous strides from scrimmage one to scrimmage two. He's an incredible talent, and you know, I talk about working on his passing game because he didn't come up passing in high school, but he's not talented. I mean, they think he can be an elite passer. A.J. Hall, number 17, the true freshman wide receiver out of Florida, Ja'Cory Brooks, Christian Leary, three outstanding wide receivers. I think they'll get a chance to see the ball some tomorrow. J.C. Latham and Tommy Brockemeyer, the two elite offensive tackles. Latham will wear number 65 and Brockemeyer will wear number 76 tomorrow. You definitely want to keep your eyes on them. Terrence Ferguson, the guard, number 69, he's going to be a great one moving forward. On my side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, true freshman Monkel Goodwin, a defensive end here, wearing number 95 tomorrow. He's one you want to keep your eyes on when he's in. Jack linebacker number 92, Kano Coit, he's one to watch. Inside linebacker Deontay Lawson, he'll wear number 32 tomorrow. Deontay is a person that they are going to fast track this fall, Bill. I think they're going to get him into the blowout games and get him experience as much as he can, and he's really making noise in the linebacker room. And then, you know, in the secondary, number one, Ja'Quincy McKinstry. He's a super, super talented athlete. So those are the true freshmen that if you're going to the A-Day game tomorrow, you're tuning in on TV. Those are the ones you kind of want to zoom in and watch on.
Kevin, I go back to the 70s when it comes to Alabama recruiting. Not the early 70s. I know all the stories, but just keeping up with it. And I've seen a lot of players from the state of Alabama, a lot of really good players come out of that state. We were just talking about the class of 23. So that'd be the rising juniors. And if we go by the 24/7 sports rankings right now, there are an astonishing five stars. You only get between 25 and 30, maybe 35 some years, but there's a limit to the amount of five stars they will allow in any class, meaning nationwide. And the state of Alabama has five of them. Do you recall another year where they had that many rated that high at the top?
No, I don't. And I profusely apologize for misreading your tweet last night, my friend. You should have texted me back and said, reread the tweet, you idiot.
Oh, no worries.
Matt, we had five commitments already. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Five stars so far in the state of Alabama. Peter Woods. And here's the funny thing, Bill. Two of them are defensive tackles, and three of them are cornerbacks. Yeah, Peter Woods from Alabaster, Alabama, defensive tackle one. James Smith, defensive tackle out of Montgomery, Alabama. And then you got the three cornerbacks, Tony Mitchell out of Thompson, Alabaster, same high school Peter Woods plays at. A.J. Harris out of Phoenix City, Alabama, and Jaleel Hurley out of Florence, Alabama, which is Wim Sanderson's hometown. But then here's the other thing, Bill. There's a sixth player named Kelby Collins out of Gardendale, Alabama. He's a defensive end. He's on the cusp, Bill. I will not be surprised if when it's all said and done in that class, Kelby Collins doesn't actually become the sixth five-star player in the state of Alabama in the class of 2023. And, of course, Alabama got a commitment yesterday from Jaheim Otis. And we all remember remember he made a big sensation. He was an internet sensation as an eighth grader when he was 14 years old, you know, monster size, and went and ran the 4.7 40 at the Ole Miss football camp and kind of became the internet sensation. Well, he went ahead and pulled the trigger and committed to Alabama for the class of 22. So, yeah, Bill, I'm excited about that 23 class. Of those six, I fully expect Bill Alabama to get at least four of those six players.
And you just said Alabaster's got two on one team.
They've got two, Peter Woods and Tony Mitchell.
Wow.
Peter Woods is the number one. He's the number two player right now overall. And, of course, all of this is going to change. But right now he's the number two player in the nation in the 20. We've got number one defensive tackle. And then Tony Mitchell, who's the number one cornerback in that class and the number 11 player overall. For those who don't know, Thompson High School, Alabaster is a southern suburb of Birmingham. It's become a power program. That's where Talia Tongavaola played high school ball when they moved to Alabama. So that might ring a bell for people outside of Alabama with that high school. It's an elite, elite program in Alabama.
Royal Payne on Twitter says, ask Kevin, does he think Nate Oates' playing style, great recruiting, personality, etc., and A.D. Burns' basketball push will finally get the new arena built in Tuscaloosa?
That is a phenomenal question that I get a lot, and I would really, if I could have lunch with Greg Byrne, that would be the first question that I would ask Greg Byrne. I think it all has to do with the COVID finances. You know, every one of these schools, they suffered a lot of financial loss, and, you know, the fact that we didn't have fans, a big revenue stream impact. I think that is the big question. But then there's the whole issue of, you know, I'm of the crowd that I would like to have a completely new arena, and there's talk about building a new arena out where the Bryce property is, which is off campus for those in Tuscaloosa. And I apologize for people that don't know Tuscaloosa. And then the other option that Burns made public is basically gutting Coleman Coliseum and rebuilding it. But the issue there is that would force Alabama to play one season in Birmingham, and while everything's rocking and rolling right now, and you've got fan interest at it all the time. How appealing is that? But the bottom line is Coleman Coliseum was built in 1968. God love it. It's time to do something about an arena at Alabama. Yes, I think it will get done. I don't know which of the two options, but I think it's just going to be, you know, dealing with the financial issues. But I will tell you this, Nate Oates, I'm sure, has pushed this to the top of the to-do list for Alabama athletics. It needs to get done, and the sooner, the better.
So if they demolition Coleman Coliseum, would they be playing, you said, in Birmingham, but would that be the old Civic Center?
I guess the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center. I can't imagine, you know, UAB wanting to cooperate with. I mean, they certainly aren't going to play in Foster Auditorium, which they originally played, which is a really, really small venue, which they used to make the women play in there for a while before they moved them back to Coleman Coliseum. I mean, it's kind of a logistical nightmare, which to me is a great selling point for, can we just build the new arena on the Bryce property and get on with this thing? Because they're really, you know, for those who don't know, the athletic complex at Alabama Coleman Coliseum, it's landlocked in there with the football facility and right next to the baseball facility. I mean, they talked about possibly building something in the parking lot, but that doesn't seem feasible to me. It's so just go build a new arena by the Bryce property. Oh, by the way, Bill, I meant to mention this for the 23 class. Yes, Nick Saban will be 76 years old when that 23 class is a senior, but I just want to throw this out there as a reason why he may stick around and make that his last year. Alabama has three road games that 2026 season. Two of them are three non-conference games. Two of them are South Florida at home and Florida State at home, but the road game for that season is going to Morgantown, West Virginia to play the Mountaineers, Bill. Saban's home state. I think it would be pretty special on September the 5th, 2026, when the Tide takes the field in Morgantown, that Coach Saban, I can't imagine him not wanting to be on the sideline for that game. That's pretty significant.
Jeff, too, ask Kevin, would Alabama have interest in pursuing Arch Manning, or because Bryce and Jalen Milroe both look outstanding, they won't even try to pursue it? Or is there another quarterback they pursue?
Oh, Alabama's going to pursue him full time every single year. It's our goal. Our goal is going to be to sign the best quarterback in the country. But as I've said this many, many times, I will be absolutely shocked if he chooses Alabama. You know, his grandfather isn't a big fan of the University of Alabama, and I would be absolutely shocked, Bill, if Arch Manning chooses Alabama. I'm with Blake Ruffino. If you were to ask me to guess today who my number one choice is, I would go with Dabo Swinney and Clemson. I think Ole Miss is going to be seriously in the hunt all the way down the line. I think LSU will be in there, but I will be shocked if he chooses Alabama.
Baseball last night, walk-off for Alabama. Against Auburn.
How awesome was that? Alabama beating Auburn 8-7 in 10 innings. Owen Diodati with a single in the bottom of the 10th for the winner. But, hey, our man Zane Denton, Mr. 615, he led the inning off with a single. Sam Prater then hit a single before Diodati's walk-off, scoring Zane Denton for the game winner. Zane Denton, of course, for those that don't know, he's from the Nashville area there. He's batting .339 with six homers and 24 RBIs. Brad Bohannon's team is finally beginning to get healthy, Bill. Connor Prelip, their preseason All-American, he's supposed to be the ace of the staff. He pitched five innings of the first of the opener, pitched, 78 pitches, and then has been injured ever since. So he's supposed to take the mound again for the series finale on Saturday. It would be really huge for Alabama to get him back. Alabama's sitting at 6-7 right now in the SEC. They come to Lexington for a three-game series next weekend. So it's great to see Brad Bohannon's baseball team starting to get healthy and make a move here. The goal is to get to Hoover, and right now, if the SEC baseball tournament started tomorrow, Alabama would be one of those teams going to Hoover. That's been the goal from the get-go, get to Hoover.
Kevin, we'll see you next week, sir.
Have a great day, everybody, and as always, Roll Tide.